And this is kind of our celebration Sunday to talk about and to share different. Different ways that being in God's Word has affected our lives, our hearts, some of our favorite parts of it. I did want to point out before I go on, just in the form of announcement. Maybe you've heard about it. Something going on tonight. There's a new docudrama. That's a 5-part miniseries of the Bible. It's going to be for tonight from 8 to 10 on the History Channel. It's going to be for the next 5 weeks, and I think it's going to be great. I've seen some of the clips from it. It really makes me think about if you've gone through the devotional book and you have that part, the picture it method, where you can just picture what it'd be like to be in that setting. That's really what this movie, I think, will help, is to picture it, what these Bible stories are like. As with all things, there's no replacement. It's no replacement for the Bible itself and reading it. Just like all the great books that are out there, no replacement for God's book. But it really is good for that picture method of picturing and getting people interested to dive deeper. And so we are celebrating going through the 40 days in His Word, and hopefully this is just a start. The goal is that 40 days, you need 40 days for something to become a habit, something to become regular for you. Not just we get to the end of the 40 days and we get a little pin or a little medal. I didn't bring any kids some medals. And stop right there. But to really, to really have that habit of being in God's Word. And just to get us jump started, and I know some people have already talked about that they'll come up and, I know people don't like talking on mic, but move this out for people anyway, and for our people being baptized today as well. But just to start it off, just to give you an example of some testimonies that I asked a couple people to help me out in the videotape. And how many of you watched at least one of the videos, the online videos? Okay, so that Pastor Rick would have a good friend. I mean, he's a really good friend. Pastor Rick has a lot of really good dear friends, apparently. Probably can give devotions. And so I thought for our celebration Sunday we could do a similar thing. And so, Andy, can we hit the lights and
Andy was just saying, Susie, you just like take care of problems. I forget even how she put it, but it was just like true. I'm constantly having to battle things that you, oh yeah, I know, because 3 out of 5 4 vehicles broke down in the last 3 weeks. So it's just one thing after another, and just time to come and share and just kind of like put your burdens out there and say, here it is, please have pity on me, please understand that maybe I didn't get my Bible study done this week because I just had so much going on, I just couldn't stand it. But also, I mean, the videos have been nice, learned some things that I hadn't thought of before, and I thought it was really funny because my daughter Gabby had told me that her youth group has been, obviously they've been doing this too, and she shared that they are counting how many times Rick Warren laughs at his own jokes. So when she shared that with me, I started counting as well. So it's kind of nice that, you know, Gabby and I have been talking about this too, and well, I'm now seeing the video a week before she is, or half a week before she is. So last week I said, okay, you only laughed once, and we've been wondering if the backdrop out the window is real, or the leaves just are like perfectly still. So last week I saw a bunch of movement. Okay, Gabby, it's really, gotta watch. So anyway, it's been kind of fun just knowing that we're both sharing the same stuff. I've got a group that I'm sharing
with,
and...
Well, again, as we continue on in our 40 days of the Word celebration Sunday, I've asked two more of my friends, good friends, really, great friends. Make all that stuff I said about Susie look like nothing. These are two of my best friends in the whole world. We were actually triplets. We all were eternal triplets. And except for they got went and got married. Exactly as legal. But anyway, couldn't be any closer friends if we were brother and sister, which we are. So they're going to come and talk to Sarah and Donald Lee. They're going to come and talk to us a little bit about the devotion time that they had going before the end of the Word. And what that meant to them, both working in the book and with the videos. So I hope you enjoy it as they talk about their devotional method.
Okay, so 40 days in the Word. One of the things I really enjoyed about the whole study was that the video devotional that you watch every day was probably my favorite part. I got so much out of it. It's so interesting listening to these pastors and who are from all over the country talk about the topic of the day and the words that they were teaching on. It was also kind of fun to see. I've heard a lot, but I recognize a lot of the titles of the books that they had written, but I didn't know who they were. So that was really neat to hear them give a short devotional. My favorite study method so far is how we're doing the space pets, which at first I thought I would like it because it's so long and involved. But the more I did it, the more I realized, wow, I can find one of these letters every verse or section of verses that they set up for us to study that day. So I really got a lot out of it. It's been great getting in the routine of getting into the Word every day. I wasn't into it every single day. It's been really, really good.
My favorite part about getting into the Word has been spending time with my wife. my favorite study method was the story method, how you put yourself into the story, because I find that I can really remember that. I'm not very good at remembering, okay, John 3:14. But if I put myself into the story, tell the story with myself in it, then I can remember the story. So I can remember what's in there and remember the devotionals and remember what we've done. And I really enjoyed that part.
And I think I mentioned this in church one day, but one of the other things I really like is that even though there's always different groups going on, you have like this common conversation. So if I was sitting by somebody who was in a different group at a basketball game, or if I was talking to somebody in church, but they might not have been in my small group, and still we're all like, hey, who did this, or how's this going to go, or what did you do yesterday's devotional? So that's kind of me having this common language, I guess, throughout the church.
This is how
Okay, yeah. The first video, sorry, got cut off, not because Susan said anything bad. The camera died right there. And the second one got cut off because I was just laughing so hard. The perfect answer, you know, as Sarah looked at him. Oh, yes, I enjoyed it very much, too. it reminded me of a small group I was in maybe over a decade ago, just before coming over to Dansville in Balago, and what the husband came at the beginning of the small group and openly said to everybody, I am here because I do not want to be in trouble with my wife. And so we were there, and we had our kids would come and be a part, you know, would play around during the group time. Andrew was just a little kid, and they had a son. You made me think of this, as they have a son who was a little older than Andrew, but not a terrifically athletic kid, but a really big kid. And I always told his parents, you gotta let him play basketball. He's gonna be a big kid. And he is, and he's 6'5". But they always he said, no, he's more of a wrestler. And I had to admit that finally they were right. Yesterday, he won his fourth consecutive state championship, and is now considered the number one or number two ranked wrestler in the nation for high school, and he's going to wrestle at U of M next year. So I had to admit that they were right. So you never know, just in your small group, one day, you know, you're gonna see Tate, and he's going to win like the Nobel Prize or something, and you say, I remember when he was just going around here, putting ice cream on the ice and stuff like that. So others, we've got the mic up here. You don't have to use a mic, it's intimidating, but to come and share about your time with 40 Days of the Word, and what was your favorite devotional, or what was your favorite thing about it? I heard that maybe one small group might be coming up together, but who's going to be first?
I'll be first.
Oh, right.
Is that my group? Do you come?
I just wanted to say that
inspired by all of these people here, and I just think it's an awesome thing to be able to meet each week with people who want to know God's word more.
About the scripture, but it comes to you when you can. It's just a blessing. it was one of those days that I came home and I was struggling with a couple different things. And I mean, there's other things too, but this is the most recent. And struggling, wanting to get out of the situations that were uncomfortable and making me frustrated. Just want to turn my back and walk away or do something. I want to take action. I want to be in control. I want to do something about it. And I was kind of almost sick to my stomach about it. And then talking to Ted before bed, seeing it, I felt like I had to like share with someone and try and take his input. And
I listened.
He listened. But God pointed out that, you know, it's not going to other people that should be our first response. And oftentimes that is. For me, my first response is do something about it or go talk to someone about it and have them agree with me and then I'll move forward. And God showed me that night that that's not what it's about because I got frustrated with him. So then I just opened up the Word. And it's God is so good. Because I opened up James thinking, I'm just going to read through this whole book of James. I'm just going to go for it, and something's going to happen. But instead, God had a different plan, and he just stuck me on a few verses right at the beginning. And it said, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone, and do not waver." And I just felt like the Holy Spirit was just saying, Charlie, ask me. Don't ask Ted. Don't try and figure it out yourself. Don't try and solve it. Ask me. Seek me. Put your trust in me alone. Don't put your trust in yourself, and do not waver in that. And also, it was like, I just felt, I want that. I want my faith to grow. I want those words to be true of me. That I just love those words. That so if it has a chance to grow, so let it grow. And I just kept reading that over and over and over and over that night. And when I woke up the next day, I felt fine. Struggling with those same issues. It's like God just took them off my back because I laid them at his feet. And I think that's what the beautiful thing too about our small group is that we come together. And we are in no way perfect. We all, we're not a walking testimony at the end of the word every day. I'm sure that we all screw up in that. And yet, we come. Close, <Andy. laughs> We come together, and God lets us be perky and transparent and real with one another, and we can lay those burdens at each other's feet, but we also ultimately, we always want to support God. And he does work through his word in us, and it's just a cool thing. I'm so excited about John. That's what we're studying next. We're studying John, so it's really exciting.
Anybody else? You don't have to come up front. You can stand up where you are if you'd like. Share something. Even if you weren't part of a small group and you're just going through this, the study yourself or something Sunday. Anybody?
For me, daily time in the Word can just get start going through motions, reading the Bible with God, please show me something. And this, like the verse, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law, just to love the word as God's word to me. Just take time and slow down and really listen. Just helped me a lot to get more out of it, I guess.
Anybody else?
It was the idea that this study gave us a very purpose-driven reason to be in God's Word. And not that we shouldn't be in God's Word all the time, but now we had a reason. We had a focus, and we had a target, and we had homework, and we had things to accomplish. And like has already been shared, our group, too, failed sometimes to be able to keep up with the homework or do everything we're supposed to do, and we were honest with each other. And I think one cool thing as Christians that is awesome to be in God's Word is so that we can then have God's Word flow through us and touch those around us. And so anyway, I have this friend that I was meeting with before our group was going to meet last week, and we were supposed to go to the gym, but because of a snow day, we got locked out of the gym, and so we went to McDonald's. We had an iced mocha instead. And so we're just sharing with each other. And my friend is a I would call her a senior at this point. And so she's just sharing real life of, like, you know, probably struggles that are the same as any person like around my age. Like, how am I going to pay for college? How come my health isn't as good as it used to be? What's the future going to be like? And she just was sharing, like, a lot of anxiety. And I was telling her that what the two of us were sharing right there in McDonald's was a lot like what we share with our small group. And really, you should come. And she said no. But the cool thing was, I told her I had to go home and cram for a Bible study because I was a little bit behind. And so the first thing I did when she dropped me off, I opened up, and this was the very first verse that I opened up to. Now, don't think about what day that was, because I wasn't at the time, but it was so perfect. I mean, God had put that there. My failure to be up to date on where I was supposed to be studying, God used all of that. And this was the verse. So I turned around and I texted it to my friend. And I'll just read you the text. It says, okay, when you dropped me off, I came in and began cramming for Bible study. This is the first verse in my journal. I thought it related to our conversation. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Good stuff, huh? And her response was, yes. So are you trying to tell me that God says I need to chill? And it's just cool that, you know, what they say is that 90% of what God wants to tell us is already here. But if we're not getting into his word, then he can't be in conversation with us. And I just thought it was cool the way God spoke to me and gave me something to share with my friend. Oh, in my group, we want to continue too, but all but one night of our group, we only had one guy with us, but he's a man among men, Bob Shelrock. And so in our group, what my desire was is to do a Bethmore study to follow up with our group, but then we got Bob. So I was really worried about how that was going to go and how to present that and how Bob would feel. And Bob said that he is man enough to go to a Bethmore women's Bible study. We're doing a study on David, and that's going to begin, when did we, oh shoot, who's our organized person? I'm ordering the materials March 12th, so if you're interested in being part of that study, let me know.
Anybody else? All right, well if not, we are going to move into a little different testimony. Isaiah, could you let them know? And we are going to have a some baptisms. While they're coming in. Anybody? Oh, all right. While they're coming in, anybody? I heard Isaiah say Psalm 119, verse 18. Anybody else memorize any of the six verses? Yeah? Your group did, they just don't want to. Because the rest of your quirky group's going to rap it. They do. Yeah. All right. I got it. Well, let's do this. Let's have Tate. Come on. You know what? You have Tate. I'm going to let you sit. Just a second. I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. So if you do have your Bibles, but you kind of show them so I can see, and you're going to help me do a little short teaching on baptism. Alice, can you do 1 John 1, 9? Jake? Can you do Acts 3, 19? Andrew, could you hit Psalm 51, verse 7? Ted, is that a hat? Oh, okay. Acts 2, verse 38. Maddie, Romans 6, verses 3 through 7. So, we have our baptisms this morning, and the first time in this building, second time indoors, doing this in 10 years, so this will be interesting. But it's kind of like a wedding ring is an outward symbol of somebody being married, or a uniform, a military uniform is an outward sign of somebody involved in a particular brand of service. And similarly, water baptism is designed by God to identify a person as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it's a representation on the outside of what's already happened on the inside. So it's very extremely significant. And at its simplest, baptism is a graphic display that Jesus has washed our sins away. John 1, 9.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Okay, and Acts 3, 19.
Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord.
Okay, and this purifying and wiping out happens on the inside and is continually referred to and pictured many times as a washing in the Bible. Psalm 51, 7.
Take away my sin and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow.
Okay, and that washing of our sins and being forgiven is represented in the washing of waters in baptism. Acts 2, verse 38.
Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so the washing of sins, but secondly, baptism represents our sins being forgiven, but also represents our old sinful life as being buried, so we can have a new life in Jesus Christ. Romans 6, verse 3 through 7. Did I give that to somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, Matt, okay. I'll pick it up right there. It says, for we have been united with him in death like his, and we'll certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, and we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So as we go down into the water, Hunter and Tate, as they go down into the water, it's that representation of being buried with Christ. And then coming up out of the water is that representation of being raised up with Christ. And that's not to say that we're going to be sinless after baptism, but gives us the hope that we can be one with the Holy Spirit as we and with Christ in our battles against temptation. And then finally, baptism shows our identification with Jesus and his church. Romans 10, verse 9 to 10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. So baptism is our opportunity to demonstrate publicly our allegiance with Christ. Jesus himself was baptized at the age of 30, and to give us an example of fulfilling all righteousness. So again, what happens in the water is not what washes our sin, but is a representation of what has already happened on the inside. I mean, kind of think of the Olympics. You know, the person wins the race when they break the tape, but it's that the ceremony where they get their, you know, later on when they get their medal. This is kind of the medal ceremony, the medal stand of that public representation of what's already taken place. And so I think this is going to work with this tank. We like to do baptism by immersion. It's not a requirement, but one reason we do that is because when they go into the water, it's going to touch every part of them. Just like when we are baptized and we trust Christ for our salvation, his Holy Spirit goes to work on every part of us. You know, there's no part of us that we can hold back and have, well, this part of my life, but I want God to keep his hands off, that we're opening up all of our life to Christ. So because baptism is a public testimony, we ask each person to give a short witness to God's action in their life. And so we'll start with Tate Andrew Cox. If you could come on forward and just give a short, so you give a witness to God's action in your life. It's okay if you use the mic. Salvation, that there is a party in heaven. So we've got a representation here of what